At the height of the pandemic, the Federal Reserve took unprecedented steps to support the U.S. economy, but it was also expanding its role to help shore up global markets.
So the Fed activated a network of swap lines, and what those are, they're agreements with foreign central banks that allow central banks to borrow dollars from the Fed, and then they can lend those dollars to their own banks.
We'll have more on how the central bank became the world's backup lender. Plus, Eli Lilly tests an experimental COVID-19 drug at nursing homes. And why used car dealers are in the market for your old ride. It's Monday, August 3rd. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Here's what's news. President Trump says he's open to Microsoft or another U.S. company buying TikTok's U.S. operations, but he says the government should get a slice of the price. He spoke to reporters at the White House today following a conversation on Sunday with Microsoft CEO Satya Nadella.
I did say that if you buy it, whatever the price is, that goes to whoever owns it, because I guess it's China, essentially, but more than anything else. I said a very substantial portion of that price is going to have to come into the Treasury of the United States, because we're making it possible for this deal to happen. Right now, they don't have any rights unless we give it to them. So if we're going to give them the rights, then it has to come into this country. It's a little bit like the landlord-tenant.
On Friday, Trump threatened to ban TikTok in the U.S. if it stayed in Chinese control. And today, he said he'd set a deadline around mid-September. The Treasury Department says the government expects to borrow another $2 trillion in the second half of the year as federal spending to fight the pandemic continues. That would bring total borrowing for fiscal year 2020 up to $4.5 trillion. That's more than triple U.S. borrowing last year and far more than during and after the 2008 financial crisis. The estimate assumes that Congress will pass an additional $1 trillion stimulus, which is the amount Republicans have budgeted in their relief proposal. Democrats' proposal is more than $3 million. Drug maker Eli Lilly has started testing an experimental COVID-19 antibody drug at nursing homes. Nursing homes and other senior care facilities have been hit hard, accounting for a large percentage of deaths during the pandemic. Public health officials say antibody drugs could be ready sooner than vaccines and could help protect older adults who might not get a sufficient immune boost from a vaccine. Our pharmaceutical reporter Peter Loftus explains how the antibody drug works.
It was derived from the blood sample of one of the first Americans to recover from COVID-19 earlier this year. And what happened was Lilly worked with another company called Abcellera, and they studied this blood sample to look for antibodies, you know, agents of the immune system that help fight foreign invaders. And they looked for the ones that they felt would best be able to fight off coronavirus. And then the idea was to then essentially clone those antibodies and turn them into a drug that could be given to other people, either to try to prevent the disease or to treat it in people who are already infected.
Coming up after the break, how the Fed supported global economies during the pandemic. Back in March and April, when much of the country was in lockdown, the Federal Reserve made a number of bold moves to keep the wheels of finance turning in the U.S. But the central bank also took action overseas, lending massive amounts of money to global economies in crisis. And that marked a huge expansion of the Fed's role on the world stage. Our Wall Street Journal economics correspondent Nick Timiraos joins me now with more details. So, Nick, the actions the Fed has taken to bolster the economy during the pandemic have been pretty unprecedented. You looked at how historically the Fed's been resistant to being a backup lender on a global scale. Tell us about the situation prior to the pandemic.
The Fed has a domestic mandate, right? Their job is to make sure that inflation is stable in the United States and that they can boost employment as much as possible within the confines of keeping prices stable. And so they've always kind of shied away from accepting this role of being a global lender of last resort. But that really changed in the second and third week of March when the coronavirus pandemic went global and reached the U.S.
Remind us of the domestic actions the Fed took back in March and April.
So the Fed did two things in March. First, they cut their short-term interest rate to zero at two emergency meetings. And they also announced plans to buy a large amount of treasury bonds and mortgage-backed securities because those two markets, which traditionally are the most deep and liquid markets, were not functioning properly. And so that was actually kind of a scary moment for global finance because you expect the treasury market to be a place where you can trade at any time of day. And you know, it wasn't really working that way in the middle of March.
Now, in addition to those steps, the Fed also took action to bolster global economies. Can you explain what actions the central bank took?
So the Fed activated a network of swap lines. And what those are, they're agreements with foreign central banks that allow central banks to borrow dollars from the Fed, and then they can lend those dollars to their own banks. It's a way for the Fed to make sure that if there is a crisis in which institutions, banks, life insurance companies in other countries need to get access to dollars, they can do it. It's something the Fed does very rarely, but they've done it during times of global stress, including during the 2008 financial crisis. And why it helped was, in the middle of March, everybody wanted to get their hands on dollars. And so they were selling, they were panic selling even safe assets like treasuries. By allowing other countries to make dollars more available, it may have stopped these panic sales of treasuries. Because if you want to get dollars and you're selling safe assets like treasuries, and you now know, well, actually, these swap lines are going to make dollars available in your own market, it helps to slow down that kind of panic hoarding of dollars.
As you write, this is something that happened pretty quietly and sort of under the radar. Why is that?
Well, it happened under the radar because even though the Fed announced that they were doing this, there was so much else going on at the time that it really didn't get that much attention. So the Fed, for example, announced they were going to make trillions of dollars of loans as needed through these emergency lending facilities in the United States. But those took a long time to get up and running. The dollar swap networks took effect almost right away. And so by May, the Fed had lent $450 billion abroad through these networks. It took much longer for their other emergency loan programs to get up and running.
Do you think going forward and having taken this action will embolden the Fed to intervene in this way again or take a more active role?
Well, the big question now is what will investors in the United States and in other countries expect the Fed to do during the next crisis? Obviously, we've never had a global pandemic. We've never had a crisis like this where any concerns about, you know, so-called moral hazard or bailing out financial institutions, they sort of went by the wayside because this was a virus. Nobody could have planned for this. But there is a big question now. The next time something like this happens, what is the Fed going to do?
That's Wall Street Journal reporter Nick Timiraos. Nick, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me.
Before we go, if you've got an old car and have been thinking about an upgrade to your ride, here's some good news. Used car dealers are looking for you. Demand is high. Fewer people are flying or using public transportation, but they still want to get out of town safely and on a budget. But used car supplies are low. Fewer people have been trading in, and dealerships have had to limit business hours to follow safety measures. That's leading to bidding wars in online used car auctions, and used car dealers are even cold calling to track down cars to fill their lots. We've got more on this story and the cars most in demand at WSJ.com. Your old junker just might be one of them. And that's what's news for this afternoon. If you like our show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.